Welcome back. So what you handed us today is it's not exactly a clean stack of articles. It feels more like a digital archaeological dig.
That's a good way to put it.
I mean, it's this huge, sprawling collection of forum posts, image board comments, a lot of very specific, very intense subculture critiques.
Exactly. And that's really the mission for today. We need to cut through all the noise, the jargon and the raw anxiety that's in there to pull out the core
To
insight.
figure out what's actually being said.
Yeah, we're trying to identify what these communities feel is fundamentally going wrong with, well, with media, with game design, with culture itself.
Okay, so let's lay that out. It looks like there are three big threads we can pull on here.
Right.
First, there's this really interesting kind of philosophical take on how we judge video games now. Is it about the execution or just like the idea of the game? Second, we're going to dive into how these huge, long-running online franchises handle their own legacies. We've got Homestuck and the Nancy comic strip as case studies.
And why Succession can cause so much resentment.
Yeah, exactly. And then finally, we'll get into the really self-aware stuff, the commentary on generational labels and this feeling of digital burnout.
And what's so clear from all of this, right from the start, is this deep dissatisfaction with modern media that users find really hard to articulate.
And that's where this whole idea of versus execution thing comes in.
It really is the sharpest point.
The part I found fascinating was the discussion around retro games. The argument being that a lot of modern games claim, MS-DOS inspiration,
Right, you see that tag all the time.
but they're only really inspired by the aesthetic of DOS, the look, the colors, but not the actual mechanics, not the difficulty. It's just the idea of a hard retro game, but packaged for looks.
It's a total shortcut. It
Yeah.
sells nostalgia without asking for any of the, the real mental work that those old games required.
Yeah.
And you see this bleed into narrative design too.
Oh, for
I
sure.
mean, think about the classic game Moon. That ending sparked these really complex, really beautiful debates for years.
Yeah, I remember that.
Some people saw it as a message to, go outside and talk to people, a sort of return to reality.
The brothers took it a completely different way, right? Like the characters were achieving a kind of freedom by living on in the player's memory.
Exactly. And it's that kind of gentle, positive complexity that the sources say is missing now.
They draw a really sharp contrast. They say modern metafiction, it just loses all that subtlety and leans into shock value.
Progressive.
Super aggressive. One user had this really harsh critique of a creator for using what they called creep pasta rape allegory garbage. And their whole point was that this approach completely betrays the spirit of a game like Moon.
The nuance just gets bulldozed by these abrasive narrative choices.
Yeah.
And that same kind of flattening, that homogenization, is hitting whole genres, especially RPGs.
Right.
The critique is that the market today demands the total opposite of what used to define a role-playing game. They want simple power systems, linear progression, almost no grinding.
And this super stylized UI and presentation.
Yes, and Persona 5 gets called out
I
specifically.
can see that.
The argument is that it successfully tricks people into playing an RPG because of its amazing presentation and, the dating sim elements.
So the idea is that if you stripped all that style away, a lot of players just wouldn't bother with the core mechanics.
That's the argument.
But I mean, if it's that successful, doesn't that just prove that the old difficult mechanics are, well, that they're just outdated?
And that is the core debate, isn't it?
Yeah.
The sources push back by saying what we've lost is exploration and real player agency.
They bring up the old Dragon Quest games.
Yeah, one user specifically talks about that old DQ style where the game gives you almost no direction. You have to figure out what the hell to do.
And that struggle, that investment, is what they feel is gone.
It's been sacrificed,
Yeah.
and you feel that loss even in the biggest modern games.
Like Xenoblade. There's this specific disappointment that a massive open world RPG like that with these huge maps still doesn't really embrace that exploratory challenge.
Still holding your hand?
Maximum scale, but also maximum ease of use. It's selling the idea of a huge, complex world without the actual complex mechanics.
So that's the first big theme. Now let's see what happens when these long-running media franchises try to continue that legacy in any meaningful way.
Okay, yeah, let's pivot to that. The crisis of media succession. And the big one here is Homestuck, specifically the game series Hiveswap,
Right, and there was a recent update on the Act 3 preview.
which is tentatively scheduled for 2026, a long way off.
A long way off. And what's fascinating is the reaction to the preview itself. They streamed this 3-hour scene.
And according to the threads, it was mostly just talking.
Long stretches of talking to fan-created characters or fan trolls, with apparently minimal puzzles and very short, repetitive music loops.
And this is where that whole quality versus volume thing comes right back around.
Mm-hmm.
Someone in the threads noted that the developers justified the game's length not by content, but by word count.
Which is just the perfect narrative equivalent of a giant, empty open world, isn't it?
It's pure volume over substance.
And speaking of legacy, there was also this deep dive on the main character, John Egbert.
Who is supposed to be a millennial, right?
Supposed to be. But he's written with overwhelmingly Gen X traits, just like the author.
Mm.
The sources point out that the single most millennial thing about him is that he apparently played Crash Bandicoot.
Wow. That's pretty thin.
It just speaks to how hard it is for creators to authentically write for a generation that isn't their own.
And that anxiety about passing the torch is even clearer when we look at the Nancy comic strip. The succession there with the new cartoonist, C. Starsh, generated a huge amount of commentary.
A huge amount. The new comic is heavily criticized in these forums. They say it's unfunny and preachy.
That it's too focused on topical issues like gender and mental illness.
Right. The style is called generic, and one source says it just reflects pre-programmed political catchphrases instead of having its own comedic voice like the original by OJ.
But the critique goes deeper than that. It gets institutional.
It really does. Users argue that the new cartoonist's success isn't about artistic merit. They say it's a product of what they call DEI HR blockade culture.
So a suspicion that institutions are promoting certain creators, in this case, a white lesbian creator, based on identity rather than the quality of the work.
And we should be very clear here, we're simply reporting on the viewpoint from the source material.
Of course.
But what's crucial is that it shows this deep, pervasive cynicism that the community has about institutional gatekeepers and why they pick who gets to carry a cultural legacy forward.
That makes a lot of sense. So let's broaden out from there to the wider cultural diagnosis in these threads, the stuff about generational identity and this palpable feeling of digital malaise.
Yeah, and this is where it gets very meta and very self-aware. Let's start with generational labels.
Okay.
A common argument is that all the negative stereotypes, you know, millennials are lazy, Gen Z is entitled, that they're basically manufactured narratives, psyops, as one user put it.
Psyops, to what end?
For reader retention in media, mainly, but more importantly, to stifle criticism of the way society is structured.
So if you're busy arguing about whether you deserve to exist, you're not critiquing the system that made you feel that way in the first place. And it works. It really gets internalized.
Also,
one user just flat out admits they feel they deserve to be bitched about because they see themselves as listless, unproductive, and desolate, even while they're complaining about it.
Wow.
That's dark.
It's very dark. We also found this really specific profile of Gen Z's political engagement from a user observing high school kids in Texas.
In Texas, okay.
They said Gen Z was overwhelmingly liberal, protesting for gun control, climate change, even in these really conservative areas.
But the telling part was their attitude towards economics, right?
Exactly. A total indifference toward things like inflation or the job market. And this combination, intense social awareness but economic disengagement, led some in the threads to call themselves a future NEET generation.
And for anyone who doesn't know, NEET stands for?
Not in education, employment, or training. It's this idea of a generation that feels so economically disenfranchised that they've just opted out. They're prioritizing other issues over traditional financial stability.
Okay. And then you have the anxiety around technology, especially AI.
And the views are completely contradictory.
On one hand, you have people saying AI is destroying DAERF, that it's an existential threat to workers and creatives.
But then right next to that, you have others pointing out the hypocrisy.
How so?
They say all this anti-AI anger comes from people who are perfectly fine with large-scale industrialism and automation in every other part of their lives.
So they see it as selective outrage. It's only bad when it's automating creative jobs.
Pretty much. And you can see that anxiety reflected in marketing.
The handcrafted trend.
Yes. One user called it the gamer approximation for organic food.
That's a great line.
It's a label used to reassure you, the consumer, that this wasn't made by a procedure or an AI. It's a direct response to that distrust of automation.
And all of this, the media critiques, the generational stuff, it all seems to tie back to this overwhelming feeling of burnout.
Directly. The threads are just filled with this sense of listlessness and exhaustion. People saying they're too tired for games, too bored for no games.
There's that one user who described using marijuana just to force myself asleep because I hate being awake right now.
It's just raw.
Yeah.
And they even have a term for the mental state that causes it, lightning brain mode.
Right, that state of hyperstimulation where your thoughts are moving so fast you can't even hold on to one of them.
And it doesn't lead to productivity, it just leads to total cognitive overload and exhaustion.
So when you put it all together, what these online spaces are really doing is what? Acting as a pressure valve.
I think they're functioning as a venue for immediate, unfiltered cultural criticism. They let these communities figure out and articulate exactly why certain things feel so empty or frustrating or just spiritually draining. The language might be raw, but the diagnosis is sharp.
Absolutely. So we've covered this huge critique of modern media where it's all about volume, word count, map size, shock value over any real substance.
Mm.
We've looked at the struggle of cultural legacy, the deep suspicion of institutions, and this heavy burden of manufactured generational labels that leads right to burnout.
And what you end up with is a world where any kind of creative work is viewed with intense suspicion. Whether it's from an old franchise or a new creator, the users feel totally drained, but they just keep analyzing everything with this relentless focus.
Which brings us to a final, pretty powerful thought to leave you with. In this environment of easy content and high frustration, one source argues that creative effort needs to be cultivated through excellence, not spite.
Mm.
But looking at everything we've talked about today, the listlessness, the cynicism, the constant online rage, you have to ask, is excellence even possible right now? Or is spite, that immediate, unfiltered, angry reaction, the only real fuel left for online creation? Something for you to chew on this week.